You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. Just search for the Rob O'Donnell Show, and anywhere on the iHeartMedia apps and platforms. So we're everywhere, and get us everywhere. But that being said, it is Tuesday. And like every Tuesday, we bring in Tommy Marquez, our Navy veteran, was a senior staffer in Congress for many years, and now he helps us navigate that system and the swamp in Washington, D.C., where Tommy is fresh back from. Tommy?
Yeah, I was at D.C., and I made sure to visit no Subway sandwich bars.
There you go.
Stayed fresh away from there. Seems like a hot area to get picked up.
But, you're no stranger to D.C. You're there all the time. You're there usually a couple times a month. Did you notice a big difference as far as safety goes?
Absolutely, I did, Rob. I have to tell you, the day I got there, President Trump had just made the announcement hours before. And, a lot of people just moved out. They decided to be less problematic. I walked from one side, basically, where the Senate buildings are, all the way down to the National Art Gallery that night, to Capitol Grill, and then further down to the DOJ, and I ran into no problems whatsoever. Typically, if I walk there, we walk in a group, we have to move sides of the road to avoid usually some deranged lunatic. I mean, I've been down there many times where it's just been bad, Rob. You are seriously concerned for safety. As a matter of fact, I went to two blocks away from the Capitol, the White House once, where there was a protest going on, and a young lady ran up next to me. And I said, "Are you okay? Like, hey, some space?" And she said, no, please just walk with me. She walked with me. We walked into a restaurant there, the Hamilton, right by the White House. And I said, "What was that?" And she was, "I was so scared of those guys out there." And she said, I know they weren't going to mess with you. You just have a serious look on your face." I said, "Okay." So we sat down at the bar. She joined her party. About an hour later, she came up to me. We had heard sirens outside and all sorts of chaos. And she came up to me and said, "Look what happened outside, right where we were. That protest, somebody had been stabbed of Israeli descent." And she's Israeli, and she was super scared. And that kind of stuff shouldn't go on anywhere in America, in my opinion, but definitely not in our capital, especially literally one block away from the White House. It's sad that it's like that. I've already seen a stronger presence there when I was there all week last week, and it got cleaned up really quick. It's a shame, actually, how quick it can be cleaned up if policed.
Yeah, if they're allowed to do their job, if they're freed up because of the low staffing that they do have. I spoke to the vice president of the union down there in D.C. who said they are down almost 900 officers from where they should be. So the National Guard isn't in addition to anything. It's just basically bringing them to where they should be to free them up from where they don't have to, stand high visibility posts or administrative work or guard some of the national treasures that are down there where law enforcement is normally doing that. So it's freeing them up to give them a little breathing room and to do those things. The last time I was in D.C. was probably about a year ago, and I walked from the National Police Memorial, which is not even two blocks from the FBI building. And I literally had to walk around three or four homeless encampments right on the sidewalk there, right in the heart of D.C.
Yeah, that's a shame. And, I want to bring this up. There's so many people who were just enraged that President Trump was calling the National Guard. These are the same people who wanted them to stay there after January 6th for 6 months to a year, right? These are the very same people. Also, all these liberals who were attacking Trump for the insurrection supposedly on January 6th, and, he didn't support law enforcement, all these things, that was the only ruckus I saw. was liberals losing their mind and getting in the faces of these law enforcement officers. I've seen it with the ATF that was there, the DEA that was there, with Customs and Border Patrol that was there. And now I see videos of them doing this to the National Guard. Isn't it funny and so ironic that now that it no longer fits their narrative, they no longer care for the police? It's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, with my prior background in law enforcement, I get the, you know, the talking heads out there and the mutants or whatever we're going to call them, you know, attacking me. Mr. Law and Order supporting the guy who pardoned cop beaters and such like that. Well, first of all, let's get facts and facts. Nobody who assaulted a police officer on January 6th got a pardon. Their sentences were commuted, and their sentences were commuted because they already spent almost twice the normal time that someone would get jail time in D.C. for normally assaulting a police officer. And that's why their sentences were commuted. That being said, too, you know, I'm not the anomaly here. You know, I pulled up the National Fraternal Order of Police for immediate release on September 6th of 2024. FOP endorses Trump. The nation's oldest and largest police labor organization will support Trump on Election Day. Patrick Yotes, national president for the Fraternal Order of Police, announced today that members of the FOP voted to endorse Donald J. Trump for president of the United States. So, obviously, I'm not alone here. The nation's oldest and largest police union endorsed the man. So at least get your facts straight if you're going to start with these gaslight narratives.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
The problem I have with it, though, Rob, is this. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I don't agree with it. But I don't have a problem with somebody who doesn't like our veterans or our law enforcement out of a conviction of their beliefs and a principle that they may have in their mind. That's their decision. I do have a problem with it when they support them when it's a matter of convenience. So that scenario of January 6th, also the scenario of the VA employees getting fired. Then they cared about our law enforcement and our veterans. They didn't care about them previously when they were being separated from our military service without any real consideration for their religious freedoms or their medical conditions. They didn't care about them there. They didn't care about sending them to war, quite frankly. They didn't care about a lot of different things. They don't care about law enforcement when somebody's doing their job and makes a mistake, like we saw with Matt Dagas in San Diego. And then it's mostly peaceful protest is what they call it. Well, I could say the exact same thing about January 6th. I have a problem when they don't like us, they don't care about us in law enforcement and veterans and the military until it's convenient for them. Then they wrap themselves in the flag. That to me is just, the audacity is just mind-blowing to me, and it really, really upsets me.
And you bring up a good point here, because one of the talking heads out there in my listening area here, I like to call them my fans, just yesterday called me a pig because I was a police officer. Pig O'Donnell, because I was a former police officer. But here's someone who brings up January 6th in the defense of police all the time. But, you know, when it comes to the narrative that suits them for the day or for the hour or for the minute, you know, they can attack me like that. Like, it's not the first time I've been called a pig. It's not the first time anyone's hurled insults at me in my 3 decades. In public safety. It's okay. I got some thick skin.
To that point, these are the same people also who were upset with my boss when he took down a photo of a cop being portrayed as a pig in the Capitol. That party unified and said, no, we want to keep it up, and they kept it in their office. Several of them had reprints and put them up in their office.
It's freedom of speech when they want it.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. It's mind-blowing to me.
Well, for better, let's get into some better stuff. Some VA achievements have been taking place. So,
oh, man. And this goes to the narrative again about veterans. It's a funny thing, and people aren't going to like me saying this, but I am going to say this. People work better. They work harder when they are at risk of losing their jobs. If you don't believe me, watch the NFL. The NFL is the ultimate model of a meritocracy. If you're concerned about being fired, you will play those people in the NFL, they will play sick, they will play hurt, they will mask their injuries, they will do whatever it takes to perform, right? The same thing is happening at the VA right now. There's a culture change. I know I keep telling that to people, saying that on your radio show and telling people that on the street, but it's real. And to prove that, the VA has processed more VA claims this year than it has ever processed in any other year, and they are 2 months shy of that fiscal year. So they've, in 10 months, did what can never be done in 12 months under any previous administration. That is a remarkable showing of just how motivating and how quickly things can change. Just like the streets can be cleaned up in San Francisco and D.C. in a day, so can the work environment at the VA. And the VA has reshifted their focus, not for the veterans who work there or for the employees who work there or the union that represents those two groups. It has shifted their focus to its main purpose, and they're putting the main thing as the main thing, and that is taking care of veterans. The backlog is down by 37% this year. Under the previous administration, it had grown by 24%. There is 16 new VA healthcare facilities that are opening up nationwide. An additional $800 million of infrastructure improvements are taking place right now at the VA. It is now easier and faster to enroll in VA healthcare than it has ever been before. And they just found $106 million of duplicate billing that they're going to take that $106 million and put it into other programs for veterans that include suicide prevention, drug treatment, homeless intervention. And I mean, it is remarkable what is happening at the VA. It was once considered the worst area of our federal government for efficiency, and it is quickly becoming the most efficient. And that's just remarkable, Rob.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. Tommy, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm running short on time. I got weather coming up. And traffic. If they want to follow you and what you're doing day in and day out, how can they do that?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Tommy Talks. That's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I'm on all those and YouTube as well, Rob.
And real quick while I have you on, I got 30 seconds. We're going to have the Raven guys on as soon as I can arrange that on. Give us a little preview of that.
For those of you who don't know the story of the Blackwater Four, or as I like to call them, the Biden Four, this is a total example of the misuse of government to our people to create a narrative for political natures. You could Google Blackwater Four. The stories are harrowing for each of these former veterans who worked at Blackwater. They're American heroes, but it's really a story of how three guys would stand behind one guy and not flip on him, and the experience that happens to them, and how President Trump had the ability to foresee through all the BS and pardon those guys.
And they remarkable. They have a book out. What's the name of the book?
The book is called Raven 2-3 by Gina Keating. You can get it on Amazon right now.
All right, Raven 2-3, that was their call sign during that event. Yep. And we're going to have them on as soon as we can get them scheduled to get on. So I just wanted to let you give a little preview of it.
Yeah, Sean Ryan did a 5-hour interview. Be prepared, Rob. Get commercial sponsorships or something. Once you start hearing their story, you're not going to be able to stop talking to them, just like you can't put the book down once you get it.
Yeah, sounds. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Tommy, thanks for joining us this week. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.